Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen! Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza. You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black dude. How?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
Thursday, December 30th, 2010. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. As always, with me is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, J-Cat. How you doing today?
Chilling. Sitting here in my snow bunker. I had to create in the backyard over here to do the show so I could get the fire going, surrounded by snow. It's a pretty funny scene right here, but... Yeah, I'm chilling,
take a,
man.
Take a picture of it.
Yeah, I'll try that later on. Yeah, man, welcome to another edition of Yakuza Kick Radio. This week we don't have a guest. We're just going to throw questions around and that type of thing and, you know, just get opinions on a few different things. We'll go over our football thing as usual. You know, of course, we'll have some bullshit to talk. But, so I don't know if you want to start out with the football picks or what.
Well, is there a game going on right now, or what?
No, there's no Thursday game. It's all Sunday, I believe. I don't even think they play a Monday night game on the last week. Usually they put it all out there on Sunday. You get one big final Sunday, and then it's playoff time.
And we will be doing another 2 weeks of predictions for the NFL playoffs, I believe.
Sure, absolutely. I see why not. So, yeah, we'll do that. I think I edged you out 9-8 last week, another real close one. And
You told me a couple weeks ago that you were going to do a final count of all the picks. Have you done that yet?
Yeah, no, a little behind on that. That is one time-consuming motherfucker right there. If you lose the papers that you had all season long, like I have, man, I got a few, but that's it's quite a thing to count up, so... I'll be getting that when I can.
you could just tell me that I won and you can crown me the winner.
I really don't think that's accurate at all. So why go there?
I win all the weeks. I win every week though. Anyway.
All right. Well, since you got that like that, let's start out with Carolina and Atlanta. You got Atlanta favored by 14.5 points.
Well, that's a lot of points right there.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to have to go with Atlanta on this one.
All right. I'm going to go with Carolina because Atlanta really doesn't have anything to play for. And
it is 14.5
man.
Points, though, Jay. It is a lot of points.
That's why I'm going with Carolina. Next game, you got the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens favored by 9.5. And I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
Baltimore, 9.5. I'm going to go with Baltimore.
There's a lot of big spreads out there.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Pittsburgh favored by 6.5.
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Go with Pittsburgh. It's a hard-to-crush team in Pittsburgh, especially down the stretch. Got Minnesota at the Detroit Lions with Detroit favored by 6.5. And I'm going to go with Minnesota.
I'm going to go with Minnesota as well.
Yeah. Next game we got is the Oakland Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs favored by 4.5 points.
I'm going to go with Oakland.
I'm going to go with Kansas City. Should be a tough one.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it gets too crazy. I mean, Kansas City doesn't need to win the game at all, but Oakland could fight hard, and, you know, you don't want anybody getting hurt out there, so I don't know. They're a division rival. One's going home, and one's definitely going to the playoffs, so that's kind of bitter, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
I agree.
All right, we got Miami at New England, another one of those games, but New England's only favored by 3.5.
Miami and New England, and that's always a fucking rival.
Yeah.
And New England's only favored by 3.5, you said?
Yeah.
Only 3.5? Wow, I'm surprised. I'm going to take New England.
Yeah, me too. It's ridiculous. New England is not a quit team. They're in, and you're in New England, and nah, that's not going to work.
Well, they might be taking in consideration that New England made the playoffs.
Oh, I'm sure, but New England is they really try to crush other teams. They're not about, like, tucking it in because they don't need the game. You know, a lot of other teams might do that, but, yeah, New England's coming all out. So, next game, you got Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets with the Jets favored by 3.5 points.
And if I'm not mistaken, New York's already in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe New York's in the playoffs as well. They won the wild card straight out. I think in the AFC, the only thing there's left to actually win is the division with the Colts and the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets on this one, though.
I'm going to go with the Jets, too.
Honestly, the Jets, you know, they're a surprising team out of the AFC East.
Right.
You know, they do have New England, but, you know, if they get to that opportunity where they have to play New England, I think payback's a bitch. And I think
hope. If you're a Jet, you can hope, but that's all they've gotten for a while now. There's a bit of hope. So we'll see what them Jets are going to do, because I don't know. They're just such a classic choke team. They're already set up.
But you know what? That's not that. I want to know why. Because they have so many good weapons. I mean, they have Edwards. She got hurt. Braylon Edwards. They got Mark Sanchez, LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, earlier in the season, you were talking Jets Super Bowl team, and I even called them to be a Jets.
Yeah,
you know,
you did. I'm seeing how that's going to work out for you.
You know what I'm saying? But it would be a big surprise if they don't. You know, I'd be pissed if they don't get in the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah, because you know I called it on this show, and I was pretty much
definite.
So,
I'm in a similar situation because I picked the Packers to be in on the NFC side of things, and they may not make the playoffs. So, you know, it's a three-way race for that this week with 1 week to play. And that same team that I called over there, and they're playing the Chicago Bears. So let's go with that game. Skip ahead and go to that game. And Chicago at Green Bay. Green Bay favored by 5.5 and needs this game to get into the playoffs. Tough Chicago team, you know, I don't know.
I want Chicago.
All right. Let me go with Green Bay.
I can't wait.
It's going to be a tough game.
I can't wait to see the outcome of that one. You know what, though? Green Bay looked very competitive early in the season. You know, they looked competitive. And I think they've fallen on some injuries. They lost tight end Jermichael Finley earlier in the year. He was a big target for them, and you know, losing him and then losing half of your offensive line. And I believe Rodgers is out, isn't he?
I thought he may have came back. I'm not really positive on that one, though. I have limited coverage here on Sundays, so I was lucky enough to watch my Niners disappoint me for the last time this season on my TV. But you know,
no comment.
About,
no comment.
That was about all I got to watch this week. So.
Yeah. What do we got next, Jay?
All right, we got the Tampa Bay Bucks, which is another must-win team against the New Orleans Saints, with the Saints favored by 7.5 at home. I'm going to go with New Orleans on that one.
I'm going to go with Tampa. I think Tampa gets in.
Yeah, they have a tough road to fight, though. They need pretty much everyone else to lose, I think, because I think Green Bay's got the highest tiebreaker, and then you got the Giants and then the Ducks, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh.
So, you know, the game changes with who, you know, how many of those teams win. But,
right. Definitely. I hate the tiebreakers. I hate the tiebreakers. They can be so
skip
deadly.
Skip ahead to that game, the third team that needs a win, the New York Giants at the Washington Redskins. The Giants favored by 4.5 points.
I'm going with Washington.
All right. I'm going with the Giants. All right. We got San Diego at Denver, with San Diego favored by 3.5 points.
Going with San Diego.
I'm going to go with San Diego, too. They're a tougher team than they, you know, turned out this year, I think, and should be mad before the playoffs they're not going to. Jacksonville at Houston. Huge game. Jacksonville's favored by 2.5.
Going with Jacksonville.
I'm going with them, too. Next game we got, which is a equally big game for that division, is Tennessee at Indy. But they got Indy favored by 9.5 points. Going to go with Tennessee in that game as far as the point spread goes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Indy.
That seems like one of those, you know, pull-out victory Peyton Manning moments and stuff to me. But, you know, then maybe they'll crush him. Who knows?
So they gotta be doing a lot of the eyes on the clock type deal on the on the scoreboard, the eyes on the scoreboard type deal in that game. You know,
yeah.
Depending on the time on what time both teams play.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys at
Fuck
the
Dallas.
Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles favored by 11.5.
I don't understand that shit, but I'm going with Philly.
All right, got to go with Dallas because, again, Philly doesn't need the game, and Dallas, what are they going to do? You know, I know it's a huge rivalry, and it is going to be a rough one. They're not going to just sit and phone it in, but in the same token, I don't know. You know, I don't know how much Philly really has to prove. So they could go in with a few less starters if you're all right.
Yeah.
But, then we got Arizona, San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 6.5. And go with San Francisco.
Fuck that. I'm going with Arizona.
Yeah, they're going to do one of the magical moments, like when they fired their coach, like when the Cowboys did that and won like a couple straight. That's what they're going to do. Only there's only one straight to win. So I'm just going to go that we're going to get our big end of the season go home win. And this guy will be in, like, you know, fifth place for a coaching job next year, and unless they do another Singletary and just move a guy over. But, so then the last game we got is the St. Louis Rams at the Seattle Seahawks, with the Rams favored by 2.5.
Going with St. Louis.
I'm going to go with St. Louis, too.
This is for also the AFC. Winner wins the NFC West.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that division. I forgot all about that division.
Hey, that's the division you're in, buddy.
I know what fucking division you're talking about, believe.
Garbage division. Garbage division. Pathetic.
Yeah, they fired Mike Singletary, and at the beginning of the season, I was gung-ho Singletary, but towards the end, man, he just started saying stupid shit. The Packers beat the shit out of them. Not like we lost by a play, and we don't really know how to slip by. they got like pummeled for fucking four quarters, and he got on the after game and said, we're going to have to watch the tape to see what went wrong there. I mean, come on, dude. Like,
what a stupid comment.
I think you should pretty much know what went wrong, at least some idea. Not like, well, I missed that. Like, we just got fucked up for four quarters. What happened? Like, that was dumb. And I think, you know, that the decision to pull out Troy Smith in this past game, I think that was really stupid. Yeah, Alex came in and he had a pretty good, you know, series of yards, and he really, like, matched up to what Troy was doing yard-wise real quick. But the flow of the game had changed completely, and I think that was the end of it. You know, I think that was really wasn't a comeback he was going to make. He's not a clutch guy anyway. They went to him for starter like a million times since his rookie year, and, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, keep going back to this guy every time. Troy was doing a pretty good job in the game, honestly, and, you know, we were down 2 points, and you pull a guy out of the game, and that's pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah, so I think that was icing on the cake for Singletary. I mean, I've heard numerous opinions about this, about San Francisco, and, you know, talking to some people at work and stuff like that, and they were saying, well, you know, Singletary had gotten soft on the players, you know, and
he definitely
wasn't wasn't too aggressive on the team and stuff like that.
He was a maniac when he got there, and I loved it. That's what I wanted. I was like, yeah, with these motherfuckers in the shape, like, we're having horrible fucking seasons. We're having these, like, heartbreaking losses where we, like, stood with the best teams for a while. We were just, like, standing up with the best in the NFC and losing down the stretch. Like, it would be, you know, a six-point game and a hard-fought game or go to overtime, but you still take a loss. And if you do that shit all season, you ain't going near the playoffs. And, you know, we had some years like that, so I thought Singletary was going to be the, you know, the drill sergeant that came in there and just turned that fucking team around. But, yeah, you're right, he definitely did go soft. You've seen a lot of, like, where you looked at him on the sideline, and instead of him yelling and shit, he just kind of looked like Kermit the Frog and shit. Like, he just had his head down and his lips pressed together and shaking his head and shit. He just looked like Kermit the Frog rather than, you know, a drill sergeant that was fired up about the game. He just looked so upset with a duck face and shit and just shaking his head at the fucking ground. That shit was crazy, man. You know, that's not, you know, defensive general and, you know, everything that Singletary was known for, just seriousness, intensity, all of that. Like, he just looked defeated, like, so early in the season. And he'd make some kind of political statement to the, you know, the press. And it was just like, it kept him in his job, but he definitely lost his edge, and I think that was the biggest problem. So, I mean, I don't know about the whole team because, shit, I mean, we've been fucked up for years. He just kind of looked like he was the guy. These other guys haven't even looked like they were the guy, so.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to see, man. We got a lot of weapons, and they're talking all sorts of shit. They're talking about, like, Gruden might end up there somehow, and, you know, all sorts of shit, so.
Hey, Woody Byrne, why don't bring back Mariucci when you're at it, while you're at it?
John Gruden's a little different than Mariucci.
All right, you want to stay on football since we got some football questions to ask you.
All right.
Like that. Yeah, we'll stay on football, and I'll throw some questions out there, and if you're in the chat room and you want to fucking, you know, maybe throw out your opinion on that, go ahead. Well, you know, you already answered my question, you know, my Singletary question. I'm going to say it right now. I talked about this last night with a friend of mine and want to see what you say. Who do you think is a bigger bust out of the two, Ryan Leaf or Tim Couch?
Ryan Leaf. There was more invested in that guy, I think. There was a lot more expectation out of that dude, of him being the guy. There wasn't another guy that came on like a year later, a year or two later, next thing you know, fired up. I mean, you've seen what happened over there with, I think it was, who was their backup that took over for Leaf? Not Leaf, Couch. That took over for Couch when he got hurt.
I don't remember.
I thought there was somebody, like, he got there, but then he was out for a minute, and someone else took over. And then by the time he was good, like, he had a hill to climb, you know what I'm saying? He
was in Cleveland for 4 years.
Right, but who else came up and was like shit for Cleveland? Like, he was playing really well at quarterback, and they thought, well, we don't need the other guy now.
Ty Detmer. Wasn't it Ty Detmer?
Detmer? I don't think so.
Or Kelly Holcomb.
I don't know. I don't think it was either.
Couch took over for Detmer, and he didn't.
Who
he
took
did
over?
Nothing.
Who
no,
took
Couch,
over for Couch?
Holcomb, Kelly Holcomb.
Might have been him, man. I don't know. I thought it was somebody else, but I don't know. Ryan Leaf has just been like he was the expected to be guy, and he was had much build up. I think a lot more than Tim Couch did, so I would go with him.
Okay.
And it's still the classic. Every time a quarterback's fucking up early, they're like, oh, Ryan Leaf. It's pretty much a trademark guy. He's got to hate himself.
He was a bum. I mean, let me look at this. Let me check this out real quick. I want to see this. All right. So he played 2 years with the Chargers. Oh, my gosh. You know how many touchdowns he had? 14 touchdowns and 36 interceptions in 4 years. 14 touchdowns in 4 years. But Peyton Manning, he was number two in the draft because number one was Peyton Manning. That year, 98.
Imagine the Colts picked up fucking that guy. Dude,
oh, yeah.
Sorry, motherfuckers. That would have been a Jets move. The Jets like stupid shit.
With the Jets.
Well, so do we. Fucking, we end up with fucking Alex Smith and then rely on this guy for years and years to come.
Because of a contract.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So. All
right, getting back to football. Best running back in the NFL right now.
Best running back in the NFL. I don't know. Probably Jones-Drew.
Maurice Jones-Drew?
Might be. He's nasty. His stats are up there, right?
Yeah. A lot. I think he's like number one or number two in rushing yards.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like, he's a beast, man. He's got breakout strength, and I think he's the guy right now.
He'll be a free agent in 2 years.
Yeah, he'll get big money.
Yeah,
the
maybe
he's running like this. I'm just saying, as far as like this year and what's now, what's going on. Yeah, he's an animal, man. He's coming out of that. He's coming out of that backfield like a bullet. And you don't think you get that first hit on him, he's gone.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's also a beast in Madden, as well.
Yeah, I don't use the Jaguars in Madden. Otherwise, I'm sure he would be.
Yeah. Maybe you should try playing with him one day, just to see how. He is. Cause
yeah,
he's a
see how it works out. I could just look at his rating and shit if you want to get technical. I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. But, yeah, man. That would be, just my guess. You?
I think you're right with Jones-Drew. I mean, back in the day, he used to be Tomlinson. I don't know what happened with Tomlinson, but he did like a Barry Sanders move. He became fucking garbage. What about that shit? Remember back in the day when Barry Sanders fucking just stopped playing? Just fucking said, hey, enough. I'm done.
Well, oh, man. My opinion on that, like, for sure is, and a lot of people think this way, but, this is, not Cowboy fans, but is that if Barry Sanders was on the Cowboys, you wouldn't know who the fuck Emmitt Smith was.
Right.
Emmitt Smith had holes ripped open for him that was like, it almost looked like the other team forfeit. The fucking field was so clear. He would fucking walk through there sideways and shit. And no fucking problem, man. Not touched. And he banged out a lot, man. He was definitely a scrappy running back, and he made some finesse moves. And he's not untalented. I'm not saying that. But, the Lions, man. There was five guys in the backfield by the time the ball got to the running back. And he made moves like, just on the dime, spin moves, just all everything you could even expect a human to do, like cougar-like shit, just jumping sideways and spinning off of landing on a jump type, like crazy shit.
Yeah.
And he was getting yards to compete with a guy who had a wide open field to run for the most part, because the Dallas offensive line was the best of, you know, a lot. It's one of the best offensive lines that the NFL has ever seen, you know. So I just think when you compare those two things, Barry had it hard, you know what I mean? And it was easy to say, oh, well, fuck Barry. Look at it. He don't even want to play anymore. Like, these guys were not letting him out of his contract at all. You know, he for years and years, he gave them the benefit of the doubt and just said, well, I'm going to have to make a 90-degree turn every day for the rest of my career. And then there's, I guess, a certain point of frustration. You're like, dude, you know, I need to get out of here, get a title. I need to, you know, maybe see what I can get. And they're like, nope, you're locked in. Like, seriously? Because I gave you, like, everything I've had. And they're like, nope, dude, you're going to have to stay here. We ain't got shit with you. And he was just like, fuck it, I retired him.
Man.
You know, that's I don't really blame the guy because, you know, he really did give the Lions everything that you could possibly want from a running back times 10, you know, and I don't know, man. He was one of the most amazing athletes I've ever watched in my life because, the moves he would make are just unhuman, man. You know, I mean, you see stuff that resembles it, but nah, man, it's still flattened out, pop up off of it with a spin move and, yeah, go the other direction. He was unbelievable. So, it was definitely sad to see him leave the NFL. I wouldn't blame him for shit because even if after all those years you became selfish, all right, dude, so what? The rest of his career, he was busting his fucking ass. So, his whole career, so.
Yeah. He wanted to retire. He had to make a decision, you know what I'm saying? He didn't want to keep getting beat up and not, you know, have an opportunity to win a ring, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you bust your ass.
Emmett's running away with the world, and he's going, he's got to be in the back of his mind going, fucking shit, man. If I was somewhere else, you know what I would do? Look at this guy. Look at me. Look at, you know.
Yeah.
Someone, you know, if I'm thinking it as a fan, and, you know, a lot of people have said it as a fan, imagine what, like, the people close to him are telling him for all those years.
Yeah, they're probably pissed at him. Probably pissed.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's got to be a point where it goes through to you and you're like, hey, you know what? Yeah, maybe these guys are right. I think you can fuck out of here. So, who knows, man? That's my
opinion.
Detroit's
been awful for years. Detroit's been awful for years, though, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking up big time. They had Kent.
Oh, yeah.
One year they were decent. I think they won like 8 games or something. But, you know, they had that fucking jerk off Millen who fucking thought he could run a football team. And,
well,
you know what happened.
Right now, they're actually not a terrible team, even though, like, their record doesn't show that. They played really hard games this season, so they may be on their climb back, but it's going to take some years, you know, of consistency. And then, you know, that's what I hope out of our guys. Some of the games we played a whole lot better than the team you see most weeks. So, you know, a couple of years, we do the right things and get somebody in there to lead the team and throw the ball.
Yeah.
The Lions could be some shit, man, and, you know, we could be some shit. A lot of these lower teams are playing pretty tough. Cleveland, man, look at Cleveland.
Yeah, they're just trying to get things going. You know what I mean? They had a good team for years, and then the fucking Ravens came along.
Oh, yeah, the
and
Ravens.
And then the whole bullshit
stole
overnight.
The team from Cleveland. And,
overnight.
Yeah, and Tennessee stole the team from Houston.
Yeah, and how about they came back anyway.
Here's the Texans. You get to have Texans, and we won a title, and then we won a title with the Ravens, and you get to have your Browns back now.
Here's your
go build a new team, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's so fucking
crazy.
Stupid, man. I think that's ridiculous, and it's just like, you know, that's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, well, it's all big money.
Yeah, but, like, you know what I'm saying? It's fucking retarded if you're a fan base. Like, oh, who's my team? Well, it was Cleveland, but now,
sucks. You got to abandon every guy on your team at once and stick with your town team.
You know what sucks, though? You know what even sucks more? If you had, like, a jersey of a player, you know, a Cleveland Brown player.
Oh, you don't know how many traded motherfuckers' jerseys I got, man. I used to wear, like, shitloads of jerseys back in the day when I was, you know, I was younger and stuff. not even like younger, because I still wear jerseys and shit, but not like every, I work every day, so it's not really running around in jerseys and shit, but yeah, I got so many jerseys. I got almost every Shaq jersey just because this guy's been on every team in the fucking NBA. So,
except for the Sixers.
Yeah, which is good.
Fuck that.
Yeah. I think I'm missing like two. I'm missing his Cleveland jersey and his Orlando. I'll eventually get his Orlando because it's that you know, fresh out the, you know, starting gates.
Yeah.
Shaq jersey. So.
Love you,
yeah,
too.
Man. Yep. Yeah.
All right, go staying on, you know, not even, we're not even going to fucking change anything around. We're just going to keep going. And
yeah.
I need to hear this opinion. What is your thoughts on the whole fucking fiasco with Brett Favre? A big-ass fine he just received from the NFL for not cooperating with the
I think it was like 20 G's or 50 G's or something, right?
Yeah, 50 G's it is.
Yeah.
Fucking...
Dude, he's sending pictures of his dick to people. I mean, if you've seen pictures of the chick and you're Brett Favre, I guess you really can't blame him because if I was that famous and just seeing people, you know, like that, and if I was in his situation, I don't know how I could be a complete dick, man. He's got enough money to get himself in and out of trouble, or so it would seem, you know. He's been such a revered as such a golden boy to so many people through the years. I mean... To himself, he must feel untouchable, you know. Anyone else could tell you what he should do as a person or what he shouldn't do as a person. I think he's a douchebag, but, you know, it just might have been the best idea in his opinion right there. Like, how can I fail? But this is how. So, yeah, he's going to get beat up over this, and it's pretty funny. I mean, he wanted to play games with the NFL and jerk him around on whether he wanted to play or whether he didn't. Fucking leading the league in interceptions, and everyone's got to honor him because he's Brett Favre. Like, hey, man, I just think he went out with, like, a horrible, horrible spin on his reputation. Because for so many years, he was just, like, nobody said shit bad about Brett Favre. He was just, like, the guy in fucking Green Bay that you met in the playoffs, and it was not going to be fucking easy. And just didn't miss a fucking game. Just he was, you know, the Cal Ripken of the NFL. So, with that type of reputation, there was nothing bad. And then all of a sudden, when he hit that turn in his career where he was going to go somewhere else, or he was going to retire, or he wasn't going to retire, I think shit went all wrong. Shit went all wrong in that guy. And he started getting real selfish. It kept going and going. So, it's pretty funny. But
you think he'll be back next year?
If he decides he wants to, that's how he feels, man. Like, he doesn't give a shit if you want him back or not. The whole, you know, world could be like, retire, Brett. He'd be like, I feel like playing. Go fuck yourself. And someone will sign him because he's Brett Favre.
That's ridiculous, though. Maybe he'll go to Cincinnati and play with T.O. and Ochocinco.
No, that won't happen. I can guarantee you that shit won't happen. You'll see some Mel Gibson-type shit come out of him if he had to play with T.O. and Ochocinco. Brett Favre will be fucking screaming at the press like he's Mel Gibson and shit, so...
Yeah, he'll go nuts.
You hear all sorts of fucked up shit come out of Brett, I guarantee it.
I can't believe Carson Palmer can deal with it. Carson Palmer deals with it, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I'm just saying, their egos as wide receivers, but he's, at this point, a huge ego as a quarterback, so there's no way you're going to match that. Carson Palmer's just, you know, he's a quarterback. And most quarterbacks will handle it like two weapons, but... When he's Brett Favre and he's doing the crazy egomaniac shit he's doing, you're not putting those two guys with him, so.
Yeah, but what else does he have left to prove, though, Jay? Like, another Super Bowl? Right.
I don't think it's even about proving shit. I don't know if it's routine or just senility or, you know, what it really is surrounding him and, like, why he continues to just fucking do what he's doing. And, yeah, I'm throwing you more interceptions than everybody in the NFL, and I'm a legend, so. I mean, come on, dude. Like, how long do you really think that looks good for? Because it doesn't at all. And,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
I hope
no
it's
talent.
His last year. I hope it's his last year.
I hope it is. I think it is. I don't think he's being received too well. And this court case thing might be, like, his final decision that just – he lives on 460 acres. You know, if they give him house arrest, you understand how good – that's like confining you to a state. That yeah, shit is ridiculous, much. Man. It's like, yeah, don't leave that property, you call them. Fuck, man. It's like three towns.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's... You know, I mean, that's just a huge... I'm sure he couldn't come near the edges of his property or something, but I think he'd still be okay.
Yeah, man. Let's see what else we got on here. I had some questions through the email. I got to fucking check that out, though, real quick. Give me one second.
Yeah.
What's been going on with you? Oh, damn. Wow, that's ridiculous. Anyway, apparently the Eagles aren't starting Vic this week. He's not likely to play this week.
That is expected. Like I said, some of these teams, you don't need the game, man. If that guy gets hurt in that game, you're retarded for playing him, you know? So.
Yeah.
To be expected.
And Farr hasn't passed his concussion test yet, so he might not play this week.
It makes me laugh when, like, you lose him and you win with another quarterback and you'd be like, I think we should get Brett in there. Wow.
Yeah, man. I don't understand that shit. Like, he hasn't been available to reporters since the 20th, but he made that fucking surprise start after it didn't really, you know, nobody cared about that. So,
yeah.
And now the Jets are getting fined $100,000 for that tripping incident. $100,000. That's a lot of money.
Good, man. This is a douchebag. I mean, that guy's, he's an asshole. That should, like, come out of, you know, and I don't even necessarily just mean the guy that tripped him. I honestly don't think that Rex Ryan didn't have something to do with it. You know, he's just like his father was just known as, like, a roughneck coach to tell his players to go hurt fucking people and shit like that. Like, do you think he didn't have any fucking, he's been a cocky, arrogant fucking, you know, like, since he started, he's just been a complete arrogant douchebag for the most part. That, I mean, he's gotten shit done, but I don't know, man. He's definitely the type of guy to allow that shit to happen, you know, on his team. Of course, you know, once you're caught, you know, oh, I didn't know nothing, see ya. And that guy's got to go, so. But who knows, man.
Imagine that shit happened on the Jets when Farr was there.
You know,
big fucking,
he was
big
too busy harassing fucking women, so.
Yeah, he's a jackass anywhere.
So, all right, what else, man?
All right, well, enough of the football. I got wrestling talk. Questions now.
Imagine that on Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yeah, who knows? Who would have known?
What'd you get?
All right, ready?
Yep.
All right, I got four questions from the same person, so I'm going to read them off one by one by one. All right, this is from AJ in Philly. How do you feel about the Awesome Kong signing with WWE?
I think that shit's pretty cool. She should have been there a long time ago. Like, I you know, you never know what the WWE is going to do with somebody, but I don't think they have a choice but to make her, you know, fighting Beth Phoenix and what's the name? Natalya, you know?
Yeah.
Getting in with those chicks because, you know, they could wrestle for sure, and she's a beast, man. She's definitely going to be something big in that division, I hope. So.
All right. Yeah, I hope.
She's built to be, like, you know, a star, you know, when a woman comes out and is that. I mean, really, I think Sarah Del Rey should be up there, too, because she could wrestle her ass off.
And put on good matches, too. You know, and she's a big girl.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And she's beautiful.
Wrestle
she's
her ass off.
She's very pretty.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, all that aside, is, you know, it's definitely, like, a lot of those girls on the indies like that really, really fit the mold, so.
There needs to be a Fed out there just for, you know, for the hottest people at the time. You know, I mean, like the Sammy Callahans, the Brody Lees. You know, there needs to be some type of television show with that. And I'm not talking ROH. I'm talking another company for all those guys that are not with Ring of Honor full time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just not funded well enough, and everything is so, you know, it gets territorial. As soon as a company gets somewhat big, then another company's trying to lock him in so they can work every one of their shows, and you can work every one of these shows, and it just gets crazy. And then some contracts are, you know, you see all these indie companies with their so-called contracts. I mean, it's ridiculous shit.
Yeah, it is retarded.
They start fucking bickering, and you can't work for this and that, and it's just retarded.
All right, what do you think about this is from the same guy, from AJ. What do you think about the whole brand extension?
The what?
The brand extension in WWE. Like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think they need to get, is that something that they should get rid of, or?
What do you mean?
Like, the whole brands, like Raw versus Raw and SmackDown type deal. You think everybody should be working?
Not necessary. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to make it a strict line, and they don't have to make it a one versus the other. There's a way to make those both really good shows, and then, you know, for different reason or angles, just weave this guy into that or weave this guy into that here and there. You know, it makes shit interesting, but when it's too much of just one versus the other and you're really only going to see this talent here and this talent here, it just gets boring, and it's like, again, like they create the illusion of two feds that can't get along. And every once in a while you see the super card or whatever, and now they're putting a... And I'm not even into the WWE like that, that when they mix Raw and SmackDown, I consider it a super card. You know, I mean, it's generally not my type of shit anyway, but that's what, you know, the feeling that comes off of that is when you only do it once in a while and you only do this and that, it just becomes too much that way, I think. It's just, if they were able to make two good shows out of it, and just run them that way, it'd be all good.
Yeah. What do you think that there's any possibility of HBK coming out of retirement?
I would hope not. You know, I'm sure he's got a few more matches and within him and everything, but I mean, there's a certain point where, and I side with the other side of the spectrum because I just I don't like the match. I don't like the match at all. And, you know, the loser must retire match. You know, wrestling, you know, they always say that no one ever retires in wrestling. You just take breaks or, you know, things like that. Like, that type of stipulation puts weight on the company and the opponent. You know, even if it's, you know, kayfabe, whatever, something still goes into you saying, hey, I was this guy's last match, you know, and it went down in front of such and such a crowd, and this many people seen it, and this many people, you know, look at that match still. When things go down like that, now you're obligated to the guy you wrestled and the company you wrestled. Now it becomes betrayal if you decide, hey, man, I got some more in me. And I don't think the match is right, because my thing would be to either honor that match and stay honoring that match, like be done when you say you're done and honor the company and the, you know, the wrestler and everything like that, because people shit on Flair as soon as he jumped over the thing. But what if someone fucking shows you a check and's like, can you keep doing minimal for all of his fucking money? He's got to be like, no, not with Michaels. No, that's my boy. I'll never make money again because I promised Sean. Why does it have to be that if he feels like he could just, you know... I'm not saying Flair's the best fucking career man, or he should have fucking done what he, you know, went to TNA or any of that shit. But if you choose as a fucking person to, you know, make a career move to do that, a stipulation to a match is the silliest fucking reason to decide that you can't possibly do that. Imagine if you were like, no, they said I was buried alive. I can't come back. When you're buried, you're dead. And they buried me alive on WWE. So I can't show my face in public. I'm getting plastic surgery and joining the fucking NFL. Like, what the fuck? Motherfuckers don't do that. That's crazy. So that's just my opinion on that type of shit, because, you know, the stipulation, it's the only stipulation that you will actually catch feelings over and change your course of profession if you have a second thought on, hey, maybe I should go back there and do that for a little while, or, you know, any of that shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, but they can still do autograph signings, and they can still make appearances.
Well, yeah, but let's do a segue off of that, and let me say that okay, and then we'll get right back to whatever other questions. Off of that, what if Brock Lesnar did a loser retires match when he left the WWE? Now all of a sudden Brock wants to come back. So what if he'd be honoring such and such to stay away? Now he wants to come back for the money, so that should say, hey, you said you were done. You know, that's, it's crazy. I know it's different when you have like a lengthy career and, you know, some kind of, you know, legacy, you know, with your name and shit. And you've gone on for years and people have, you know, seen you grow for years and, you know, wrestle all these historic matches and stuff, like a Flair, like, a, you know, Michaels, like those guys. I know it's a completely different ball game with, you know, Brock Lesnar, but he decides, hey, this shit ain't working out. They're kicking my ass over here. I had some shit happen. My fucking intestines did 8 backflips. It did a shooting star press on its face, like Brock did years ago.
Yeah.
You know, its intestines did some of that shit. They had to cut some of that out and all sorts of crazy shit where he almost died. Like, you do that shit, and then you come back, okay, I'm training, I'm fucking UFC, fucking got his ass kicked. Do you start to think, hey, man, how about where I have a match where the guy tries to protect me, and I usually just throw people in circles and, you know, a whole lot, well, I don't even want to say a whole lot more money, but no, honestly, probably a whole lot more money, because you figure UFC, you get big paydays, but they're only big for as long as you're big, and you're only going to be big for so long in UFC. I'm not a huge UFC fan, but I know that for sure, because you'll see a guy all the way up top of that fucking poster, and people are shouting it all over pay-per-view, and a few months later, that guy's not even featured on the thing, and then you heard about some fight that he got his ass handed to him, and then next year he makes his big return for maybe a rematch or maybe just like a ladder climbing match again. So, you know, when you hit those downs and ups and ups and downs, you know, Couture and Liddell and, you know, Tito Ortiz, man, he was on top for a minute, and then Chuck Liddell knocked his fucking head off. And he fucking scrambled and fucking left for a while. Then he popped back up. You know, like, there's a lot of different shit that goes on like that. So.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Brock, I don't, I mean, he tried with the NFL. Shit didn't work. You know, and so I think it'd be great to see him come back to the WWE, but as long as he's doing everything he was doing before and just launching people all over the fucking place. He was a beast. He was definitely fun to watch. He's like a crushing, you know, powerhouse and everything. He's throwing fucking
right.
Handicapped kids downstairs and shit. All of that. That was a lot of fun.
Zach Gowen.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole deal is, you know, that, is there any guys that you, if Lesnar does come back, that you would like to see him wrestle? Like, they would,
Lesnar?
It would be. Yeah.
He's going to wrestle pretty much everybody if he's around long enough. I mean, obviously, I think they're going to start as a WrestleMania match.
It with Undertaker?
Like they're leading to. Maybe because, but from what I heard, they really don't like each other. And that was like the whole, you know, comment was like they really don't get along and shit. But it may very well be the match to go with. He has to go down either way, though. He's got to come back, take a shitload of money, and job to Undertaker. He can't be the guy that beat Undertaker. What?
You think it's worth it? Bring him in to lose?
Yeah, as long as he bounces back and, you know, he can get vicious, take Undertaker out for a 6-month vacation. Undertaker's going to work minimal through these next couple years. Seriously, he's trying to stretch it as long as he can, but they're giving this guy a lot of time off. So, like, he'll win the big WrestleMania match, usually,
and then be out.
And then be out for a while, you know. So, it might be that type of thing. I don't know. But, I could see that, just because of, like, the kind of already building that they did to that, like, on another
network.
Yeah, on another network, on another sport, you know what I mean? So, it would be a pretty big crossover, and
right.
But I don't know.
Would you be excited to see that? Would you watch WrestleMania, or would you fucking
Well, I generally find a way to watch it or anything, but I'm not like a real like pay-per-view. I don't have a cable box, you know. The wire goes into the back of my TV, and I get, you know, your general, whatever it is, 70, 80 channels or whatever. But, you know, I don't have any of that satellite or digital cable or any of that shit, so.
But, you find a way to watch it if you have to.
Yeah, I find a way to watch it, so, you know, and I always, you know, keep updated on what's going on that. So, WrestleMania's a big show. You got to at least somewhat just glance at it or some shit, like, if you're a wrestling fan, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be dying to see the match, but whatever.
It would be decent. CM Punk joining Nexus. What do you think?
Well, from what it looks like, he's pretty much taking over Nexus, and he's going to be the leader of Nexus, you know, and that's, I think it's pretty cool. I think if anyone is the guy to lead, like, a flock type thing, if you will, like, that would be definitely CM Punk. You know, he did well with the Straight Edge Society, and those were guys that, like, no one really knew about. These guys already have, like, established character a little bit, even though, like, I don't know, like, Otunga's fucking horrible. That's his established character. Is that he's a fucking train wreck and just married to someone famous. But that's what his character is. So, you know, and but everybody else, you know, they seem to have, like, some kind of character built up, you know, and I think they'll do really, really well with, you know, Punk is their leader, and it should be pretty cool what comes out of this angle.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it gives Wade Barrett the chance to make that, like, main event jump. You know, even if he ends up mid-card for a while or whatever the case is, whatever they do with him. You know, I think eventually he's either going to be a main event guy or he's going to be a failure, I think. You know, in the years to come, not, like, right away. But, yeah, I think that's a way to split him off and see what he can actually do.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting to get, you know, I mean, that's interesting. But I'm confused why they got rid of Barrett in the leadership role.
Well, that's why, I think. You know, instead of having people following him and paying attention to what all those guys do and then looking and seeing what's Barrett gonna think, oh, what's Barrett could just do his own thing. They could see what he could do as, you know, as how high he can go as, like, a top level guy by himself doing what he's doing. And just see where he can go, and you don't have to worry about what the Nexus is doing, what he's doing. I'm sure they'll, you know, have some sort of feud thing going on for a minute, but no,
right.
I think it's a good idea.
Definitely. All right, so I want to really quick throw out there, WWE.com threw out the top 10 submission wrestlers out there. WWE.com recently, about 2 days ago, made a list.
Is this ever?
Yeah, ever. But for some reason, number 7, they have nobody. They have 9 of them. So they screwed up. They put question mark for the 7th person. I don't know why they did that, but yeah, don't ask.
Who's the other people?
Oh, I know who they threw in there. Never mind. There is a 10th person. I'm going to throw the 10 guys in order, and I'm going to start from 10 up, okay?
All right.
So 10 would be Taz. All right. 9 would be William Regal. Number 8 would be Sergeant Slaughter. Then it would be Bryan Danielson. Dean Malenko. Y2J, Ric Flair, Bob Backlund, Kurt Angle, and the number 1, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, WWE.com put that up, huh?
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I mean, honestly, they don't have Eddie Guerrero in there?
Nope.
And the other one that, like, without question would be in that list if, you know, what went down didn't go down would be definitely Chris Benoit.
Right.
there's no maybes about it. If, you know, what happened didn't happen, you know, he would have been right on that list. But,
I don't know too much about why Sergeant Slaughter's on the list.
Me neither. I'm still, you know, pretty much a young buck as far as it's concerned. You know, I do know my wrestling. But at 32, I mean, there's some definite large group of Sergeant Slaughter work that I have not seen. So I'm not going to just say, what the fuck are you talking about? But, I mean, by the time I started watching him, you know, he had a few more years on him than he did when, you know, people before me were watching him, I'm sure. So I'm not going to, you know, say that
right.
That's fucking...
I'm surprised the Iron
wrong,
Sheik. I'm surprised the Iron Sheik is not on this list.
Again, man, you know, early work and stuff like that. So I don't know.
But yeah, that's that. What else we got here? Now we're gonna go to indies. We're gonna go into the indies. Pretty much CZW. I'm gonna throw out a couple things. I'm gonna ask you what you thought. The ROH invasion of CZW. Now, one thing I want to throw out there is that it really helped B.J. Whitmer out a lot, because B.J. Whitmer was in the feud pretty regularly. What's your memories of the ROH invasion of CZW?
It was pretty cool. I mean, it was something that everybody wanted from the start. When ROH was popping off in Philly and doing all this new talent stuff that, you know, or I shouldn't even say new talent. I should say different talent than what, you know, started happening in Philly with CZW, and they both kind of like launched in Philly at the same time. Pretty much, right? When did ROH start up?
2002.
Yeah, like, do you know what month?
I want to say March.
Okay, so CZW started up there in December of 2001 with Cage of Death 3.
Right.
So that was their first start, and then I'm pretty sure February was their next show, and that was
January. Did they run January? Didn't they run one?
Did they have one
more
in January?
Time? I'm pretty sure they did one more time. No, that was Cage of Death 4. Never mind.
I thought the next show was January, and that was the open answering the challenge.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. The
and
14th.
That was. Yep. That was the one with Messiah debuting against Justice Payne. And, that was really cool. But like I said, like they came into, you know, that was like the next month ROH was making their big splash on Philly. And ROH was making their start as a wrestling company. And they came out like a firework, man. Like, there was no stopping them, like how they came out. It was definitely impactful from the start. Like I said, they brought a different strategy, and they brought a different talent lineup than you were seeing, you know, right then. And they did high impact shit, and it was huge. But of course, you know, as a CZW fan, you got to be like, oh shit, I want to see some of that shit over here. And
right.
So it was a long time coming before that actually happened. When it did happen, it disappointed, honestly. Not really sure what led to that, but I could tell you that a lot of the ROH talent, now I don't know if they were told to or not, that, you know, I'm not blaming any of these guys for being lazy, but they didn't work up to the caliber that they do in ROH in CZW.
They didn't bring many people into CZW either. They didn't really bring anybody. They didn't bring Brian Danielson. They didn't, you know,
No, they didn't bring him in. They had a Hero go over and fight him on the ROH. But, they brought in Austin Aries. I didn't think Austin Aries worked his top caliber work by any stretch. Chris Daniels was good. I thought he was good. Even Matt Sydal. You didn't see top-notch Matt Sydal shit out there either. You know, it just seemed like I think Roderick came over again, right?
Yeah, Roderick came over, yep.
Yeah, but when Roderick, you know, was here for the Ring of Honor stuff, I don't think he was anywhere near the Roderick that we got before Ring of Honor had him.
Well, because you got lazy. You know, you're going to get lazy when you get a contract, I think. I believe you will. I mean, most people, I think when people say no, I think they're full of shit. I think that's a crock of shit, pretty much. Because if you have a guaranteed contract and somebody tells you, hey, you don't have to work hard tonight, you're not going to fucking work hard. You know
well,
what I mean?
It depends on your pride, and I mean, if any of that comes into play, that you're just going to be, you know, a tougher dude, and you're not going to ruin your own reputation just because it's easier to take it a different way. There's a lot of hard workers out there that have the pride, and they're not going to just phone it in because it's cheaper or easier on their body. You know, some of them just go hard, you know what I mean? So
yeah, but there's some guys that just don't. I do what they did. You know
no,
what I, mean?
I understand what you're saying, but I just think that ROH, you know, crossover thing didn't work out as good for CZW as it could have. I actually think it worked out a lot better for ROH.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, you know, when CZW got
mean, back... Even looking into, you know, who got the talent. Even down to, like, the Necro Butcher. Like, you don't see Necro in CZW as much as you've seen him in ROH in the past couple of years. And
Hero, same thing.
Hero was, like, kind of expected, but you would have never thought, hey, ROH is going to run over here and steal the Necro Butcher. You know, when he was doing Tournament of Deaths, no one thought, hey, ROH is going to snatch this guy up. But no, man, they were recognizing every bit of talent that CZW had, giving them opportunities, and the guys just, you know, I mean, these are human beings. They're not just, like, stealing people's presents and shit. They're, you know, they're making offers to wrestlers to go to different cities and do different things, and I would imagine for a while paying them pretty good.
And, yeah, I mean... Yeah, just to get them on board, you know.
Well, I mean, whatever the case is, I don't know these guys, you know, what they're making. I really don't give a shit what they're making. You know, I hope it's well. I always just hope that they're making what they're putting out, which usually they're not. But, yeah, that's my only concern there. But, yeah, I'm not really worried about who's making what and who had to pay what, you know. So I'm just saying that they were given opportunities and they took them. So obviously, you know, we didn't get all of our outrageous talent to use every month, so.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think they needed the ROH talent, you know, to be honest with you.
No, it's not a matter of need, but at least keeping what you had and being able to book that talent a little easier. When was the last time you seen Austin Aries in CZW?
Never.
But, you know, when was the last time you saw Roderick in CZW since then?
Can't recall.
He wasn't. You know, this is the guy who worked for CZW a lot before that. You know, Heroes come back a little bit, but, yeah, man, it just didn't work out like that, so.
Yeah, you pretty much see Hero in CZW once every 2 years.
Yeah, which is cool and everything. You know, it's just seems like the way it is, man. Whoever gets a better offer in, game is yours, so, that just happened to go that way, you know. Wrestling-wise, you know, like I said, it was so long-awaited that it's hard to say, you know, that you could live up to the, you know, the expectations. Because that's tremendous to even try to climb that fucking hill, so.
Right. What about this, though? Now, you're talking about invasions and stuff like that. Do you think, Jay, that a Jersey All-Pro... CZW invasion angle could work, or do you think that's just out of the picture?
No, I think it's out of the picture. The highest level of that could have happened and pretty much did happen, but it kind of fizzled out afterwards, was the Trent and Homicide, and then bringing in Moff versus Trent and B-Boy, you know, and at that time when they were doing that in CZW, I think that was the biggest time to do like a Jersey All-Pro, because you know, Moff and Homicide, you know, were definitely, you know, Jersey All-Pro guys. You know, they worked elsewhere too, but they were Jersey All-Pro guys. So when they came in, and that was, I think, the biggest Jersey All-Pro homegrown talent you were ever going to get up against the CZW guys at the time. So I think that was their best chance to do that. I mean, you can do it now. I don't think it's going to come off anywhere as hot as it did then. And they just, you know, they didn't feed off it at the time. There's a lot of stuff, you know, booking, you know, this shit takes off that you didn't expect to, and then next thing you know, the fans want to see a rematch next month. Oh, well, shit, we didn't expect it to blow up, and this guy's already booked somewhere else next month. Fuck, we can't do that for 2 months. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't fall into place with indie wrestling.
Right.
You get so many companies, and then, as soon as CZW did that so big, Darrell Waitre was like, shit, we got to do that. So then they started doing it. You know, it's
all right.
It's kind of hard. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, you have when a guy has brains, he'll, you know, use his brains in the indie wrestling world to fucking, you know, think of a new idea. I think, honestly, I mean, what about like a... So you don't think that whole thing with when Moth had the belt and Drake Younger had the belt, like, you don't think they could have done something with that? You know? You know what I'm saying?
Wait, what?
Remember when they had that tag match back in January? Or they were going to plan for that tag match with Unforgiven versus Drake Younger and Dan Moth?
But again, it was dismissed pretty much as soon as it happened. They were in the same building, and they didn't run any kind of... I mean, they did. Yeah, I mean, you could say that they're doing that right now, though. Honestly. Again, I don't think it's going to come over as a...
anything big.
Well, I wouldn't even say anything big, because, I mean, what they do have with Hillbilly Wrecking Crew, I mean, at this point, you got to figure that they're down to... current roster-wise, they got to be down to Necro, Brody Lee, and the Briscoes. And, you know, Brody Lee's the world champion over there. He, you know, is going to be fighting Moxley. And that's next Friday. He's going to be fighting Moxley. So then right there you have Jersey All-Pro champion versus CZW champion for the CZW title. So,
right.
And you have the Briscoes, which aren't really Jersey All-Pro talent. Comes right down to it. But they're, you know, I mean, you know, started out pretty much CZW guys, you know, as far as the real indies go. I mean, they worked a few other places, Delaware and this and that, but CZW, they're more or less their startup company as far as I know. And again, ROH, you know, they picked up them. The Briscoes became one of the best and most wanted tag teams in wrestling. And they're going to be up against the brand new tag team champion is Philly's most wanted next Friday. So, yeah, it should be really good. But, yeah, you know, they are bringing in a lot of talent, you know, that specifically that was on that Jersey All-Pro show, like, right now. So I guess you'll see how that goes down and how they cross-promote and, you know, see what they could do with it. What else? Eric?
Sorry about that. I was talking and then I realized I'd muted the microphone. so I started saying a full sentence and then I was going to say a fucking something. Tournament of Death 2.
The Mondo and Zandig thing. That was a crazy fucking bump, man. I mean, above everything else, that was a crazy fucking bump. And that, you know, to finish and do another match against Ian Rotten in the finals, it'll just tape the fuck up. Like, that's brutal shit, man. That was definitely one of the most brutal tournament of deaths. Just off of that bump and then continuing and doing a final match, that was, wow.
What was your reaction on that bump? Like, did you lose your voice off that or no?
Probably that day, probably, yeah. Yeah, it was just insane, man. You knew, because it was CZW, once you saw them on the roof, you looked what was there to fall on underneath, you know, and they had set that up, and you just knew. This is going down, this shit is going to be crazy as fuck. But you knew, like, CZW isn't the type of company that climbs up on the roof and then fucking just, I just want to fix a light, and then comes back down and finish the match or throw something off, you know, off the top of the roof. Like, now the motherfuckers are coming off that shit. You just knew that with CZW. And it was still kind of early, you know, in me watching CZW to see, like, that level of shit. I mean, I had seen a lot of crazy shit in CZW, especially, you know, DVDs. You go back and you watch the Pyramid of Hell and all of that stuff. Still, I mean, to see that shit live, that was high as hell. And those tables didn't...
Yeah, those tables didn't impact the fall one bit, because he had gotten...
It didn't seem like it. They kind of just got the fuck out of the way, and the glass and everybody fell to the ground, and yeah, it was pretty brutal shit.
I know you wouldn't be taking any of those type of bumps.
Fuck ever. All of that, bro. I don't know how these guys do it.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it either. They just fucking have... They got balls.
Yeah, that's That's one way to put it. So what else you got, man?
All right, going back on the other ones. Tournament of Death 3.
You're just going to go through all the Tournament of Death?
Of course I am. I'm fucking moving to hear your thoughts on those, because you've been pretty much to all of them, haven't you? Except for the 8.5.
And one. Well, I wasn't at the Fast Forward?
Yeah, that's fucking.
And I wasn't at the first one.
Yeah, so pretty much Tournament of Death 3.
I don't have that good a memory to go through every one of the Tournament of Death.
Yeah,
3 was, no, I don't. 3 was, I think, the Sexy Eddie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he pissed blood out of his arm?
Yeah, it was fun.
I mean, the most I could do is really go over, you know, like, specific incidents like that, because I just can't remember at all. I mean, that was crazy as hell. You know, it made IWS. These guys were doing nutty, nutty shit in that ring, so...
Hey, you want to welcome to the show, into the chat room, Juan Rivera, about an hour late.
Hey, what's
up, Juan? Yeah, about an hour late. Yeah, we're just fucking around. Any questions, you know, throw them in the chat room. Otherwise, I'm just going to go through CZW stuff and, you know, pretty much just do a history lesson with J-Cat Morris.
History lesson? Jesus Christ. I didn't know it. I was teaching anybody today. Fuck.
Hey, people learn from you.
I doubt it. I doubt that very highly.
Hey, wait a
go
minute.
Ahead.
You gotta stop kidding yourself there.
What else you got?
Tournament
of Death 3. What do you? Come on.
Tournament of Death 4, I said.
4? I mean, is that...
I was not with that one. I was at that one.
Okay, What happened there? Was that the...
Fire. The fire.
Gage getting set on fire. Yeah, that was crazy, man. I mean, the stuff this guy's been through is just fucking unreal. And, you know, I wish him the very fucking best right now. I could put that out there. Everybody heard what happened, or what supposedly happened, what he's out there, he's wanted for and everything. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. So, yeah, man, I hope this dude ends up okay, you know, through everything he's doing right now, and this shit just ends well. Because, I mean, the things that this guy has put his body through, starting, you know, that fire being one of them, man, there is no fucking replacing that guy. So, yeah, man, like I said, I just hope that shit turns out well. So, yeah, that's one thing that stood out. Didn't Blood's leg happen in the same show?
Yeah.
Fucking shit, man. That was the most disgusting thing I've seen in my life.
That was on my side.
Yeah, you must have been somewhere near me, because as soon as he stepped down, he was just about right in front of me. He saw it the same time I did. He made it sound like Goofy when he's falling off a cliff when he saw that shit.
Yeah.
I can't do a good Goofy, but he made it sound like it was some old high-pitched shit.
I was over that side, third row, pretty much, third row. I don't know where you were. Had some jackass. I had some jackasses in front of me that looked like they just came out of the fucking hillbilly motherfuckers.
I think I remember what you were talking
fucking
about, man. And yeah, they were just yelling random shit all show. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah. They're fucking jerks. They were fucking nasty. They're fucking making out. Like, the one guy and the fucking girl were making out and fucking in front of me. And I'm like, yo, take that shit to the back. Take that shit somewhere else. And they were almost fighting. They're fucking gonna start fighting each other.
Yeah, they were ridiculous. But no. When that shit happened with the shopping cart, man, I seen him lead with his fucking leg and go into the shopping cart. I just went, oh fuck, this is not gonna go well. And as he pulled himself out of there, you just seen blood pour out. He was wearing long shorts. So
yeah,
like I said, he saw it the same time I saw it. And he made this crazy, like, fucking goofy noise, and I almost threw up on this motherfucker, because I had never seen no shit that big in my fucking, like, the wound was fucking huge.
It was huge.
I mean, it, You look at that shit up on YouTube if anybody hasn't seen that. That is one of the most disgusting wounds you'll ever see on a fucking human being. Unless you're into watching them surgery channels, and I'm not really into that. You know, I've seen a lot of death matches, and I've seen a lot of people bleeding. None of that shit freaks me out at all. You know, even some pretty other brutal ones, like Necro getting his fucking arm melon balled out and shit at the one IWA thing. I mean, it wasn't right in front of me, but Zandig's tendon hanging out at Deja Vu. I mean, I've seen some crazy shit that didn't bother me. I was just like, oh, shit. But that shit right there, man, that shit was so fucking open. He stepped down and he lifted his pant leg to look at it. And as soon as he lifted his pant leg and looked at it, well, he's seen it. And just, oh, fuck, that shit was brutal.
Yo, Juan wants to know, he just posted something in the chat room. He wants to know if you know. Who had a big ass hole in their back just hanging? Who was that?
That was Die Hard Dustin Lee. That was at that the fast forward show that I missed. But
okay.
Yeah, that was Die Hard Dustin Lee. And somehow that shit healed up like it never happened. It was a real freaky wound because as crazy as that shit was, because like I said, I wasn't there, but I saw it on DVD. And you seen his shit hanging off. He was back like the next month, and his shit was completely like. Just, it looked like it never happened. You seen like a little line. It was like fucking surgery that this whoever put that shit back together was on point. So, yeah. Because I even said something to him. Because for a while, Die Hard Dustin Lee was really cool. He kind of lost his fucking mind and started turning on all his friends and, you know, his fans and stuff like that. He just, you know, became very, strongly opinionated, where he may have been in the past, but he at least knew how to conduct himself around friends and, you know, fans and everything like that. He seemed to have kind of lost his mind, but before that he was pretty, you know, he's a friendly guy.
Right.
So, you know, I had said, hey man, I've seen that shit on DVD. That shit looks a lot better now. He's like, yeah, a lot of people were upset how well it healed because it was such a brutal injury. I didn't gain much of a scar for my trouble. I was like, oh, yeah, that's crazy shit. But, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, going into Tournament Death 5 now, you know, the finals being JC Bailey, Gage, Brain Damage, and Drake. Light Tubes, Ropes, Fans Bring the Weapons match. That was the year that Gage won. Gage won Tournament Death 5, I believe.
Right.
No. Did he win Tournament of Death 5? Yeah, Gage won Tournament of Death 5, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't have the Tournament of Death list in front of me. Like I said, my memory's not that good to just, like, quick run down every tournament that fucking happened, so forgive me for any thing I don't remember, because I don't have a list prepared. You're just throwing these shits at me, so.
Of course, that's how it is. It's the same show where Brandon Prophet wrestled. Brandon Prophet, Sumner, and Gage. Drake, Bailey, and Lobo. Lobo,
I don't remember as much of this match as I remember, like, a few spots, just like, you know, when they grabbed Bailey's arms and legs and just, like, kind of pitched him into this barbed wire net.
Right.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Fucking DJ in the fucking semifinals. How the fuck do you get in the semifinals? Bullshit. Anyway. But yeah, Cage Deaths, not Cage Death, Tournament of Death 6. Let me remember that one. I was in Smyrna, 07. Let me see what the finals was. Doing a lot of this shit off fucking thing. Like I said, any questions from the chat room or anything?
Was the finals the,
Juan Rivera wants to see Blood's leg.
Well, look that shit up on YouTube.
Hey,
yeah,
we got some help from CZW Princess. Gage did win 5. Gage won 5.
Huh?
I said no. Nina posted in the chat room that Nick Gage won TOD 5.
Yeah, he won TOD 5.
Yeah.
I was going with 6. We were going with 6 now, right?
Yeah, 6 is Brain Damage and Drake in the finals.
Oh, that was that crazy, crazy bump where you had to grab the trophy off the top of the truck and then bring it back into the ring. So Drake grabs the trophy, Brain Damage, it punches him in the face. He falls with the trophy, never letting go of the trophy, through light tube table, to the ground and then has to drag himself back to the ring to win while I think they were hitting him with, like, thumbtack bats or something all the way back to the ring. Like, whoever else lost in that tournament. Like, it was a nutty, nutty fucking bump.
Wow. But yeah, that's that.
Yeah, man.
Juan posted something about he wants to know. No, it wasn't what. No, it wasn't Cage of Death. He said what Cage of Death was it that they had the cage set up all night? That was actually not.
No, that wasn't a Cage of Death. That was
no.
Oh, fuck, I forget which one that was, but I think that was.
Is it strictly CZW or I remember that show because Lefisto wrestled at that show.
Yeah. I'm really not sure that it was strictly CZW. It may have been, but it doesn't stick out to me that that was it. I thought it was called something else, like cage related. You know. I know they had a few other cage shows like back, but Cage to the End and stuff. But that wasn't that.
I'm going to find out right now for us. Was it... It had to have been... Trapped. It was called Trapped.
Trapped, absolutely. Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, it was a really good show, actually. It was kind of crazy looking through the damn cage the entire show, though. They had, you know, more or less just like a big cage around the entire ring area. It wasn't just around the ring like your average Cage of Deaths. It was where, you know, that they could... do everything else that they would normally do for the most part, and it was a pretty good show, but you know, as you know, sitting in the crowd, it's not as easy as you know having the camera through the fence like you do see on DVD, and it looks a lot crisper than it was, you know, sitting there in front of a cage the entire show. So, but it was a good show for sure.
Right.
What year was that?
06. No, 07. 07, August of 07.
August of 07. Yeah, if you haven't seen that, check that out. I'm sure Smart Mark Video's got that and everything else. So, yeah, it was a pretty good show, man.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Tangled Web. Now, how about the last Best of the Best they did? Best of the Best 9. Remember anything from that?
Well, the finals went down really well with Ego and Sammy. I know that. I mean, it was a pretty good best of the best, honestly. It was better than the one previous to it. I definitely thought it was, best of the best was heading right back to where it should have been. Man, I forget some of the undercard stuff that was on that.
Trent Acid versus Drake Younger, semi-main, B-Boy McBride. Devin Moore, Pinky Sanchez was on that show.
Yeah, I remember McBride beating B-Boy, and it was surprising because it actually looked like, honestly, like, you know, at that time, I would never look at B-Boy and McBride and say, yeah, McBride should go over in a best of the best tournament against B-Boy. I never thought that would happen, you know, and I thought if I did see that happen, I'd be extremely upset about it. And wouldn't be fucking, you know, clapping for that finish at all. But let me tell you, man, like, they worked so well together in that match, and they busted their fucking ass, and that shit looked so unbelievably, like, it looked so believable, and McBride did everything to prove that he belonged in that spot. And that was a real, in my opinion, breakthrough match for Ryan McBride, even though it was not as early as, you know, some of the other stuff he did for CZW. You know, he worked there for quite some time, but he had really turned that corner where people were taking him serious. And I think going over in a very believable, very well-earned match against B-Boy, who, you know, was and, you know, always is one of the top guys in the indies, and at the time, definitely especially in CZW. So, that was a really good match, too.
Yeah, Juan wants to know who won Best of the Best 1.
Best of the Best 1 was won by Winger.
Winger. What's going on with Winger? Anybody fucking ever hear about it? That would be somebody I'd love to see back in
I thought he retired. I could be wrong, but I thought he retired. And at this point, it would probably cost so much, and it would just be for the sake of, you know, this guy coming over here again, you know. I don't think it'd be worth it for CZW. I mean, it's great nostalgia-wise, but if you're bringing a guy in from Cali, it's one thing. You're flying someone from Japan, you know, for nostalgia reasons. I don't know, man. That's an expensive ticket and everything else. And Winger's a great performer. And prior to the Winger winning that match, I think it was a little bit of a, you know, a thank you and maybe a payback. I'm not really sure on, you know, how that decision went down. But it seemed like it was a little bit of a payback. Earlier, I think that year, Rick Blade crushed Winger's face with, I think, a 450 or something. You know, he landed it really bad and broke a lot of bones in Winger's face. And he had surgery, had everything put back together. He was back in the ring in no time, you know. You know, for what he, you know, happened to him and shit. And, you know, he brushed that off, was right back in there wrestling great matches. And then he came over to CZW and, you know, won the first Best of the Best. So I think that may have been like a little bit of a you know, a payback.
Right. All right, what about a guy like, I'm just looking at some people. Yeah, Juan Rivera just said breaking news, Austin Kong has signed with WWE. Yeah, we talked about that at 8 o'clock, so, yeah, check it out. Yeah.
You're fucking Eric being the smartass.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out, I said 8. Yeah, we love the guests. We love the people. Just messing around. You know, one thing I want to say, and maybe you'll probably have a different opinion, but do you remember a guy by the name of L.J. Cruz?
What do you mean, do I remember a guy? He was here a fucking couple months ago. I think he got hurt.
Oh, is that why he's no longer with CZW?
Yeah.
That guy was tremendously talented. Tremendously talented.
Yeah, I believe he's just injured right now. I could be wrong, but I think he was definitely injured.
Okay, just wondering. All right, let me throw this out there, and let me hear. I heard it on commentary the other night. I was watching the DVD of Acid Fest. I was watching the Acid Fest DVD that I got.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know your opinion on this, because they said something that I stopped and I was thinking, I actually stopped the DVD and thought about it for a while, and then I was like, well, I got to ask Jake Cat what he thinks. But they basically said that Devin Moore, everything about him and his wrestling style is basically what Trent Acid was. What do you think?
No, definitely. I mean, he had a lot to do with, you know, helping him come up and training him. And I know for sure Devin watched a lot of Trent, you know, through the time. I had seen, you know, Devin just there to watch CZW years before I heard anything about him wrestling. You know, and he was always there, and he was always just, you know, just cool cat, you know. So I'm sure a lot of that came, you know, in inspiration from him, you know, being from the same, you know, being both from Philly. And, yeah, man, and, you know, he did a lot of training with Trent. Trent, you know, helped him out a lot training-wise. You know, we had Devin on. He told us quite a bit about all that. And, yeah, I just... Yeah, I think it came from, inspiration. And, you know, there's never going to be another Trent Acid, but, I mean, you could have somewhat of his style or, you know, same gist. Yeah, why not?
But, yeah, that's thing. And, you know, and I'm just looking at these cards. I don't know if you remember this, but the No Rope Barbed Wire with Eddie Kingston and Drake from X in 2009. Looks like it was pretty good.
I don't
good.
Remember that as much. That?
They did Fans Bring the Weapons of the Hate Club versus Cult Fiction at that show. February
what month
of,
was that?
February of 2009.
That may have, I think that was one of the very rare shows that I missed, and I think there was like a big snowstorm surrounding that, and it was more or less going to be a hard show to get out to. It was kind of like went up down to last minute. I'm pretty sure I missed that. I only missed a handful of CZW shows over 10 years ago in February, and I definitely think that that was one of those, because I know that there was one in the beginning of the year, and I think 09 was it, and it was if there was like snow shit and car shit going on, and yeah.
All right, I guess you remember this match then. Total Havoc, Panes of Glass and Thumbtacks, Danny Havoc versus Thumbtack Jack.
Yeah, it was a great match, man. Thumbtack Jack did a lot, man. You know, he came over here and he made a quick impact, you know, and a lot of people never even heard of him before. And then a lot of people got the circulation of the match that he did with Drake overseas. It was like a Saw death match. It was like, you know, new concept, and this guy was just doing crazy shit. So he really brought a lot of attention with that. And then he came over here and made an ultimate impact. This is right off the bat impact. There was no really proving himself, nothing. He came over here and just lit shit on fire. So, that was a great match.
All right, I was supposed to ask you about this last week, but my buddy wanted me to remember to tell you about this. But there was a ladder match at Cage of Death 2 years ago with Ego and Pinky and Dan Pizon, and apparently it was really crazy. Cage of Death 10, I believe.
An aerial assault match.
With Quick Carter Gray, Ego, McBride, and Pinky, and Dan Pizon. That was pretty crazy.
I can't completely remember that. I know I was there and I saw it, and it was crazy. But a lot of times, you know, the actual Cage of Death match kind of overshadows things in your mind when it comes down to it. That was a huge match, though. There was a lot of spots, too much to remember offhand to me.
Yeah. I mean, the Cage of Death match was Devin versus Sammy versus Drake versus Danny versus Zandig versus Brain Damage.
Yeah, it was crazy fucking days, man. It was, shit was just breaking left and right all over the fucking place. It was nuts. So.
Alrighty. Since I have to, you know, since we're on the type of subject, Niles Young headbutt.
You know, shit happens. Wrestlers lose their cool. I personally never liked the guy. I just never was interested in the guy. I never really treated him as if he was, you know, it was just a heel thing. I don't like his work at all. And, I'm allowed to do that as a fan, and anyone else is allowed to dislike anybody else they want. You know, I don't know, man. I just never really liked the guy or his character or anything like that. So, you know, if he went out and headbutted a fan, supposedly Super Dragon has done, you know, some shit in the past he shouldn't have done. There's a lot of people, man. You're always going to get somebody that goes too far. You know, I mean, if wrestling is such a vast thing, there's so many people out there, you know, emotion gets the best of you, and hey, you know, you step the line, who knows? But, to each their own, man.
Yeah. How about this one? Open Book, Ruckus and B-Boy. That looks like a fucking good match. That was the first time Sabian wrestled Adam Cole, too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 09. I'm trying to give you a refresher of stuff that, you know, just to hear these stories. I mean, you know how much I appreciate stories.
Well, a lot of the stories I do have are more of the, like, the classic shit. And, you know, I mean, we've gone over quite a bit of that. You know, like I said, my memory is not fucking crystal clear. So, you know, I don't want to just shit on these shows if I don't remember them. But I'm going through quite a bit of it. So, I mean, is there anything else? You hit another topic that, you know, maybe we could sue some shit on, because my CZW shows are running into each other, and it's really hard to remember some of the...
Okay, that's cool. TNA. What do you think is wrong with TNA, and how do you think...
how many words am I supposed to sum that up in?
No, I mean, like, you can, like, go a whole rant about it. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I just turned this shit on, and, you know...
Well, what's on right now?
Rob Van Dam's cutting a promo, and that's all I see.
That's what's wrong with TNA. That's what's wrong with TNA, right there. You know, you just turned it on right off what you saw on your screen, and I'm telling you, that's what's wrong with TNA. Rob Van Dam's cutting a promo. When the fuck has he been a promo-cutting guy, you know what I mean? I mean, except for a few catchphrases he did in ECW. Obviously, ECW was
here comes Becky Bayless and Rob Echoes out to the ring.
Right. This is what's wrong with TNA. Every time you tell me what's going on, I'll just keep telling you that's what's wrong. Yeah, fine. She looks good, whatever. But you got a Jersey Shore gimmick interrupting a Rob Van Dam promo. This is what's wrong with TNA. Like, who do you root for? What the fuck are you supposed to do now as a fan? I don't know, man. It's just kind of ridiculous, and they're doing so many things that it almost feels like they're not even trying. Or the mentality of the people who are running it, who have the reins of this company, just don't have a fucking clue on how, what is, how do I put this, what works in wrestling, you know, through the general consensus of wrestling fans, of what works in wrestling, not what you think looks cool. You just, you know what I mean, like, you're not into wrestling, next thing you know, you just decide, I'm going completely into this wrestling business, and I'm going to do whatever I want here, because I got the money to do it. But you're crazy, just got here attitude is not anywhere near in sync with the attitude of wrestling fans that have been wrestling fans for a lot longer than your company's been around and will be a lot longer after your company's gone. So I just don't think they're in sync with the way wrestling goes. They might have, you worked at WWE. That seemed like that worked out. Oh, okay, we'll use you this way then. None of that shit is working. I'm not really sure what their plans are or who thinks it's a good idea. But the money is running it. The money's got to be running out. They're making colossal mistakes left and right. And, you know, I'm fucking outside doing a radio show. I'm not glued to my TV. I think the TiVo is going to delete my last week's TNA because I didn't watch that shit. So this week's one will be on my TiVo when I get back inside. So that's cool, and maybe I'll catch it. But, you know, it's reasons like just reading what goes on online, or starting to skim through it one night and then turning it off and saying, I'll watch a fucking old Married with Children episode, or I'll watch this instead. I'll watch, you know, that shit was on my TiVo, and then last night I started watching Dog the Bounty Hunter. That was what I watched instead. You know, I mean, this is the type of shit that you watch TNA instead of TNA. You're watching the dog fucking kick down motherfuckers' doors and run in with his fucking family. You know, it's fucking ridiculous, man. TNA just doesn't show, give me a whole lot of reasons why I should give a shit. So then I'm watching just crazy shit on TV instead.
Well, Nina just posted in the chat room, and she said that she's watching it, and he's going to fast forward through most of it.
Yes, I am. Absolutely. Yep, because she's in the house, I'm outside in front of the fire, and, that's pretty much where TNA belongs, in a fucking fire.
But what do you think, like, as soon as, like, TNA would go under, oh, wow, the match is over. That match was mad quick. Anyway, but pretty much, if TNA goes under, where are these guys going to go work? They're going to go to WWE or whatever? What?
So, first off, the majority of these guys, if the WWE wanted them, they'd be there. It's not about, now they get to go to the WWE because this company fucking flopped. I mean, a lot of them are past their prime, and WWE doesn't want to be involved with them, or they have, you know, some of them might have, you know, court issues or drug problems that they're sitting in TNA.
Jeff Hardy.
But, you know, that they're sitting in TNA because TNA will allow that where WWE won't. So when WWE won't and TNA folds, WWE still doesn't have to. What the fuck is that? That doesn't really change anything. So they'll just be the top stars on the indies, really.
Juan just said that he thinks that they'll go to ROH.
Possibly. I mean, again, it'll just be up for grabs for the indie guys. And I'm not saying they're going to be top stars on the indies like they're better than your Homicides, but again, like, if Homicide was still with the company, I'd say, yeah, well, that fleet of guys, including Homicide, is going to take over the indies, which he's back to, you know, headlining all sorts of shows, and that's what I expected him to do when he left TNA. So again, that's what would happen with a lot of those guys, the old washed up guys. If some of these shows, you know, want to stack their cards with guys like that, just because people know their name, and you know, bring all your local, I used to watch wrestling fans into town into a high school gym, then you can go ahead, man. Some of those guys will bring in a couple hundred fans and sell some autographs and all of that shit. But I don't know, man. Like the indies, like ROH, the CZW, the Jersey All Pro, the you know, the Dragon Gate Evolve, you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you know, all these different companies, I think would benefit from that type of thing. So, you know, TNA does go over, and it's not even a, if TNA goes under, eventually they're going to. I can't see how they're doing better than WCW did. I can't possibly see that.
Yeah. He thinks Jeff Hardy, Chikara, bro, what the fuck? Keep saying Chikara. And
oh, because I didn't mention Chikara.
Yeah.
Okay, them too.
Yeah, yeah. He says Jeff Hardy might go to Dragon Gate USA if he'd get released.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, man?
Who cares?
I bet he'll stay away from ROH.
Yeah, getting booed out of the fucking building. But his brother did pretty well. His brother did all
right. Yeah, it just amazes me sometimes with these fans. Who knows?
Yeah, they fucking...
But,
who the hell knows, dude? So what else? Is there anything you want to talk about? I've asked most of the questions. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, we've got a lot of topics, football and everything else. My Miami Heat are fucking running shit in the NBA. They're looking in prime form, as I expected them to. I know a lot of people wanted to talk shit as soon as the season started because they weren't clicking yet, but, you know, all the New York Knicks people were throwing their hats down earlier in the week, you know, when Dwayne Wade ran shop with these motherfuckers and dropped 40. You know, and, you know, some nights LeBron will just blow the scoreboard up and, you know, like that triple-double he put up on Kobe on Christmas when everybody said, nah, the Lakers still haven't fallen. The Lakers, you know, hey, two-time back-to-back world champions. Oh, all right, that's cool because, you know, Miami, man, and come playoff time, it's going to be a bad, bad fucking move for everybody in that East, man. I know the Celtics are a big thing and all that, but there's a lot of weapons in the NBA right now. It is a very, very interesting thing going on, but I still think by the end of this season, man, fucking with the Heat is not going to be an easy chore.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right. And Juan Rivera says that, you know, Matt might try to bring back Omega Wrestling.
Yeah, and if anybody remembers what the fuck that is, then, you know, email me or some shit, because I don't know.
That was funny. That was probably the funniest thing all night. Yeah.
So,
if anybody remembers.
I know, I heard about it, but wasn't anything I ever gave a shit about, so I don't, you can bring back anything he wants.
Bring back
the Easter Bunny, I don't give a shit.
Bring back XPW.
Yeah, bring that shit back. Bring back fucking whatever, man. It's all on you.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy would have fun working with XPW. He fit right in.
Bring back IWA Mid-South, you know?
Yeah. A Fed that doesn't pay well.
Hang out with Ian.
To hang out with Ian at Taco Bell. You know, get free Taco Bells, you know? Go hang out with Mr. California. And, you know, that fucking jerk.
Yeah, man. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long day. It's been a long show. About an hour and 45 minutes we went.
Yeah, I think I'm about ready to wrap it up. I really don't have anything else to get into. This is our last show of the year. So we'll be starting out fresh in the new year on January 6th, I believe. That'll be the day before CZW comes back to Philly on Friday that week. And, yeah, we're still working on a guest for next week, and we'll see what we do get across. We get any response or, you know, who we're going to give a shout-out and, you know, get on. Haven't figured that out yet, but we're working towards that. And unless you got anything else, Eric, I think we can pretty much wrap it up for this week.
Yeah, we'll just get pumped up for the new year. And by the way, quick question for you. You got any New Year's resolutions you want to throw out there real quick?
Nah. Resolutions.
Any predictions or no?
Stop attending doubleheaders. Nah, I don't know, man.
Any predictions or no?
Predictions?
Yeah, any predictions?
On what? I don't know.
Anything in general. Come on. You gotta have some type of prediction.
Miami Heat World Champions.
Yeah, and then you wake up from your dream. Anyway, Boston's gonna take this year. Sabian already said it.
This don't make any difference to me what Sabian said. I'm telling you, Miami Heat World Champions.
Well, don't tell him that. He's on the other line, by the way.
That's cool. I told him that shit. Out of here.
Juan Rivera said that his is to make it into indie wrestling. He's trying to make it.
Well,
he's trying to become a wrestler.
Yep. Good shit. I don't know, man. I think we're pretty much ready to wrap it up. I don't know. You got any resolutions or any of that shit to throw out? But
Juan Rivera said he wants to stop drinking soda. So that's his resolution. And my buddy over at the Sports Opinion Show, Matt, he wants everybody to join the first ever award show presented by the Sports Opinion Show, blogtalkradio.com/sportsopinionshow. Good friend of mine, and just in the chat room checking us out. Good stuff from Matt from California. And for everybody listening, just everybody have a safe new year, and we'll be back with you guys on January 6th. Jay, got anything final to say?
Nope, I think that's about it. Everybody enjoy your holiday. Everybody enjoy the last weekend of the regular football season. And start getting used to Miami winning the title this year, because my attention is about to shift with my Niners, going home and everything after this week. And my attention shifts. And, the playoffs are going to be great in the NFL. But, now it's time for them Heat to show everybody how basketball is played. So, like I said, Happy New Year, everybody. We'll check you on the 6th. For Eric Williams, I'm J-Cat Morris. Peace.